Yeah, you know it. Thinking we all need a little sweet inspiration these days here on the Andy DeMendez Show Blog Talk Radio. It's Wednesday. It's hump day. And I thought that would be an appropriate beginning. Yeah, to start our show today. The next hour, we are here to talk with you about anything you'd like to, or if we don't hear from you, we'll talk about anything we'd like to. Our number to join their show is 515-605-9888. That's how you do it. Do it. We're here waiting for your calls. We have open lines, of course, for the next hour. You can do it. Or just email andyandamandyourshow@gmail.com. We'll see how we can get you on the show via a link. And because we do go around the world, we understand that some folks that listen to this show internationally can't just pick up the phone and dial that number. So anyway, we're here. It is Wednesday. Looking for inspiration. And I think this is the place to come to get it. Right here.
May the fourth be with you. Today is Star Wars Day.
I heard about that.
You know I'm a big fan of Star Wars. Well, Darth Vader, that's all.
Absolutely. Have you been celebrating, darling?
Yes, I've been celebrating and everything. I have my Darth Vader shirt on right now and my pajamas. No, I'm just joking.
That's my boy.
What up, sis? What's up, Andy?
All good. How about you, Andy?
All good. Doing well here, you know. I've been in the studio again all day today again. Writing some new stuff, and then, of course, working on a song of Kevin Michaels. Kevin's not here today. He'll be in the studio tomorrow working this tune. Finally kind of getting down to nitty-gritty here, almost ready to release it. We're going to debut Kevin's new release here on this show called For You. And I think Kevin, at this point, I can speak for myself for sure, we're ready for this thing to be done. And we want the next tunes. Yeah, it was just, we got to do, you know the story. I won't get into it. But anyway, Kevin had a number one hit, he recorded Nashville, like Nashville's A-list of session musicians, phenomenal tune called Down Home Georgia. Those of you who heard the last Andy DeMendez Show heard that song, you can still hear it by going to Andy DeMendez Show and just, you know, take a listen to what would that have been, the May 2nd show. Anyway, we have another tune coming up of his. It's also going to blast out onto the country and God knows whatever charts. It's a cool tune. And Kevin and I have been working feverishly on this tune. We're almost done with it. And we'll be premiering this song on this show, hopefully next week. Anyway.
Ooh, that's exciting. It. Ooh.
Hell yeah. Star Wars. Well, hey, I got Darth Vader here in the studio with us today. He came in. And I guess Darth Guy, he's here.
Ooh.
Let me get him over here. Come here, Mr. Vader.
Mr. Vader. My idol.
You got it. He's got it. Okay. You've asked this before. What? No, I'm not going to put that on. What do you say? What? All right, I will. All right, you want to ask that question? I'm not going to. I'll have you ask it. I'm not going to ask it. You ask it. Okay. Come here. You have to speak over the microphone. They're not going to hear you. Come here a minute. Come here.
Okay. Yeah.
How old were you when you first lost your virginity?
Is that a question for all of us?
Yeah. Shit, get away. Go in the other room. Go make a margarita, goddamn. Get out of here. We're making homemade margaritas here. Darth and I. Yeah, he can, believe it or not, he can drink. He sits through a straw through that mask. Unbelievable. What am I going to do with that?
One minute, boys. I've got to take my headset off to put my glasses on. 1 second.
No, I thought you were going to take
some. No problem.
I was getting
only on the internet.
Okay, sorry about that.
Amanda starts talking about taking things off. I get excited. You know what I'm saying? and then she tells me,
I promised you nothing.
Yeah.
Well,
you put me a fish sandwich on the beach.
I did. Would you listen? If you came up to L, would you have a fish sandwich with me on the beach?
Hell yeah.
Damn. You know, I've never asked a girl out on a date in my life. This is the first time I ever did that in my whole life. It's my partner in life, my internet wife, my reason for being, my pride and joy, my, you know, whenever I need happiness and cheer in my life, I think of my co-host on the Andy DeMendez Show, Amanda. She's amazing.
So
absolutely
sweet, isn't
an amazing woman. Amazing girl. Amazing woman. Yeah, truly.
That makes me amazing.
You folks out in Radio Land have no idea. No idea. Anyway, she's just, I couldn't have a better co-host on the show. And Cornell Butler, he's that little voice you hear injecting like a little something every once in a while, that's Cornell. He's the guy. Cornell, say. Oh, dear. Oh, my God.
This is not Kleinenberg.
No, it's Cornell.
I actually thought that was Kiefer Sutherland for a minute because he's got the raspy voice, hasn't he, from all the is it whiskey and scotch or something he's been drinking over the years, bless him. That's true. Bless him, that's true. That really sounds like slander. No, he's such an amazing actor, but yeah, even he was talking about it. I heard him one day on the radio and his voice sounded so different. I was like, what's this? Who's this? And it was Kiefer Sutherland. Yeah, and he's like, yeah, the reason I have such a deep voice is because of all the whiskey and scotch I've been drinking over the years. I'm like, whoa, amazing.
Guess what I just did? Guess what I just did? No, never mind, don't guess what I just did. Let me tell you what.
Well, there's kind of heavy breathing going on in the background.
Yeah.
He's asking open question.
What did you do?
He brought me another drink here. I made, here's what I did. You tell me what it is. Ready?
Alrighty.
Okay.
Yes.
I took a glass. I put some ice in it. Mm-hmm. After the ice, I put some tequila, some triple sec, and some lime juice. What do I have in my hand?
A margarita?
Mmm. Ah. Homemade. Even Darth Vader's getting excited. Darth and I, listen to this guy, Bree. Get away from here. Get away. Get away. Go away. Go. Do I say.
I got some ice spray.
Yeah. People will think we drunks on the show. Oh well.
definitely things you can do to make yourself be into the sex more.
Go away.
Yeah.
God. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my.
No respect. None. No respect.
How's the week been, boys? I know you've been in the studio.
Yeah, that's my whole life. It's so gorgeous here. And, oh, you know something? It has been 70-some degrees here. Like,
really?
Yeah, like 78, 75, beautiful blue skies every single day. And it's just really been – you wake up every morning.
It's a beautiful morning.
Every single day has
been
amazing.
It's
but,
like I'm on enough, Andy. It's like you have another planet. I'm like, dude, where is Andy living at?
Jupiter? You know what? Sometimes I would love to. You know, we've talked about the idea of having sound clips playing, like, in our lives. Like, if we're walking around and the sound clip could just play.
Oh, God.
I would love that with, like, songs. Can you imagine just get rising out of bed and that song starts playing? It's a beautiful morning. And it's like, oh, yeah, my day's going well.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the song from the Lego Movie starts playing. Everything is awesome.
That's funny. I got to tell you, Amanda, you know what? I got to be honest with you. You have a voice. You can sing.
Oh,
you really can.
Darling.
Sometimes I hear little drips and drabs of your voice coming through. You know, we kind of have some fun here. And I hear your voice. And you can sing. Of course, I've heard some of your music. For those of you who don't know, we're all here in the music biz. Amanda and I. Amanda's a composer and a singer-songwriter, and has Amanda Love Music, I think it is, right? To hear some of her music.
Yeah.
But you do some great stuff, and sometimes I hear
not enough of it.
But I got to do something. You know, we started the show with a song, and I think we're going to get it into another tune. Because here in Southern California, I want to think of Southern California, sunshine, the beach, surfing, you know, going out there, hot rodding around. Well, who do you think of?
The Beach Boys.
Ooh. Hey. Woo, doggy.
Here we are, the originators of good vibrations, the Beach Boys. Hello. Thank you. Oh, nice to see you. Dennis Wilson, you made it.
I'm on the back of the
Recording 1971, The Beach Boys, Heroes and Villains, here, Andy DeMander Show, Blog Talk Radio, 515-605-9888. Folks, you can join the show. I used to, I probably in the early 70s was such a Beach Boys fan that I went to, I was a babysitter, not for the Beach Boys. I babysat the Beach
Boys.
No, starting to show my age, eh? No, babysat the guy in Philadelphia who produced all the major concerts. Every major concert that came to town in Philadelphia, it was Bette Midler, the Grateful Dead, the Rolling Stones, you know, Peter Frampton, who's the people who did their let's say that tune everybody requests when you get up the stage. Free Boyd. What's it called? Not Free Boyd. Free Bird. Excuse me. Free Boyd. play Free Boyd. Free Boyd. What's that band called? Who were they that did that song, Freebird? Who's that band?
You got me.
Freebird. Who did that? Come on, man. who did Freebird? Leonard Skinner?
I was looking at
Leonard Skinner.
Counting Crows.
Leonard Skinner, right. Man. Anyway, holy crap, man. I must be losing it. Anyway, they bet margaritas are too strong. I babysat for the guy who owned Electric Factory Concerts in Philadelphia. And whenever I wanted tickets to a show, you know, especially the Beach Boys, because I was like such a fan, I'd be babysitting. He used to drive me home. I got my $5 at the time, you know. And he'd say, look, I'll leave Beach Boys. Come to the executive offices at the Spectrum in Philadelphia. I got tickets for you. And I would bring a date, you know, and or my girlfriend. It was either my girlfriend or a date, one or the other.
It took me a moment.
Right.
Anyway, and we would, have great VIP tickets to go see the Beach Boys. And I saw so many, when Dennis, the whole band was together, you know, Brian, Dennis, Mike Love, the whole troupe was. Blondie Chaplin was with him then. He had just recorded Sail on Sailor. Anyway, I was a big Beach Boys fan. Oh, Sail on Sailor? Oh, my God. Oh, what a song. I got to see. Maybe I'll get to play that on the show today. You know, maybe. We'll see. We might get some Beach Boys song. But, hey, are you guys have a drink in hand? It is Wednesday. It's hump day.
You're right, it is. No, I'm having a homemade margarita after I get off.
Yeah, you're doing a margarita.
And I shall take a picture of the cruise.
I'm smoking a cigar.
Please do.
Oh, I'm so jealous right now. I love cigars.
I'm smoking a cigar. Celebrating May the 4th be with you.
Love it.
May the 4th be with you. Today is the 4th.
Yeah, today is the 4th.
Yeah, cool. I'm not going to talk about it. I'll tell you later. I'll tell you off the air.
What? Come on.
Right. What is your porn fantasy, man?
Oh, okay. Now I see.
Looking at women's eyeballs.
You've got to pick up a not their foreheads.
Oh, God.
What is foreheads? That's right. I love a woman with a beautiful forehead.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. You boys, no. That's how you crack me up. It's always fun on this show. Always fun.
Always a good time.
You know, we're always talking about us, and we keep asking our wonderful listeners to email and drop us a line, and they're all shy, I think, aren't they? I think they need some encouragement.
They are shy.
Yeah.
They're scared.
The funny thing we do have, and we know you're there, folks. We have numbers. We have ways of knowing who's
on
the show. We do, because we talk about it. We do. Sometimes there's very few people, and sometimes there's a lot of people.
Yes.
We've been doing this for over 2 years now. 400 and some odd episodes. I can't believe it, but true. And we know you're out there. And we also know, because we do get reports, that some of you who do not hear the live show and are saying, God, I got to hear that live show someday, or get a call in on that live show, hear the program via Alexa, which is the number one podcast downloader on this particular show right now. We're also on Spotify, we're on Pandora, we're on Google Chrome, we're on iTunes, we're on TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio is a big one, Amazon, we're all over the place. If you just Google Andy and Amanda Show, you do find us. And our numbers on the podcast are good, they're healthy. They can always be better. I mean, there's no radio show in the world that's going to come on the air and say, our numbers are good, we're fine, we're good. No, everybody's looking for more numbers, and we are too. But we're going to do some things to get those numbers even greater down the road. But we do know that we have listeners, and you're out there. And for some reason, you're shy to call 515-605-9888 and just join the conversation. And we do get callers on the show, not as many as we'd like, in all honesty, but we do get callers on the show. And you're welcome to join that family. And folks, we've had people who've been on David Letterman. We've had a lot of actors and directors and athletes and sports figures and psychologists and spiritual leaders and human motivators and authors. And did I leave anything out yet? I don't think so. Musicians. Like, gosh, how can I forget? Of course, musicians. The people who spin the street signs, what do you call them? They spin the little arrow when it's, they come to the street corner and they spin the sign, spinners.
I call them enthusiastic cool people, because you got to be enthusiastic to stand there and have fun spinning all day.
We
have pop lockers, break dancers, rappers.
Yes. So my point being is, we've had folks that have been on like more major media talk shows like David Letterman and so forth, who come to our show and email us afterward, who tell us that this is like, you guys have a great thing going. One of the best shows I've ever done. You're so relaxed and natural. And we're not professional commentators. We're not professional radio people or entertainers or TV late night, whatever. We're just, musicians hanging out, having a conversation, and it's relaxed. And, do we care what we think? No, you shouldn't care what we think either. But we do shed light on things that mean a lot to us in the world, that are going on in the world, such as, I know I don't get into this. I'm trying to avoid getting into this, but it's just
Andy. Get into it.
Come on. Do it. I dare you.
Yeah, man.
Here I come to save the day.
All right. We
Houston,
you know,
we have a problem.
Oh, yes, we
the
do.
Political leaked a report recently that Roe v. Wade is out the door. 49 years of abortion rights of women and, and her family and her husbands and her boyfriends and significant others and spiritual leaders and those around her who advise that woman on how she might want to proceed regarding a pregnancy that may have happened by accident or by rape or by incest is almost out the door. Political reported that a decision is forthcoming by Samuel Alito, Supreme Court Justice, totally overturning Roe v. Wade after 49 years. And I got to tell you something, folks, and we've talked about it a lot on the show, not sorry about Roe v. Wade, but about, you know, having discussions about birth control and safe sex as opposed to abortion. You know, there's only one way to get pregnant. You know what I'm saying? And we've talked about that. And if these same people who spent all that energy, pro-life, said safe sex, maybe things would be different right now. You know, maybe we've spent all that energy and all those funds that have been raised to promote pro-life were raised instead of raising awareness that you really, if you don't want to have a planned family, then don't. Then be careful.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not a mystery how one gets pregnant, for Christ's sake. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is unbelievable. Yeah. And once one does get pregnant accidentally, then let her make that decision on her own with the advice of whoever she wants to, if there is anybody else who wants to in her life. Let her make that decision. It is not my business. It's not your business. It's certainly not the government's business what that woman's right to choose is. And it's not a matter of being pro-life or not pro-life. That has nothing to do with it. We're all pro-life. Nobody wants to die. Nobody wants to promote people dying. I mean, give me a break, for Christ's sake. Right?
Yeah.
So the government coming down and saying, well, we're going to turn it over to the states. There's already 28 states in America. How many states are there in America? 50? Are we including Alaska and Hawaii? I'm sorry. Where's Chet? Anyway, Chet's a caller in from Hawaii. But anyway, there's 28 states in America that have already started convening legislation that would outlaw abortion over 6 weeks in their respective states. So what this opinion would be, if it is true, political reported, nobody's confirmed it, nobody's seen it yet. If it's true, and I'm assuming it is true, it seems to be true, everybody's reporting that it's true. We're not a news reporting agency. We just comment on what we see and hear, right? So what we're seeing is that they're turning this over to individual states. And I can see that. You know, what's the federal government? That's a whole other conversation about the federal government having their hands in our everyday decisions, and maybe we need to shrink down government and have states be. But there's issues, there's problems with that too, and that's got to get to that. But let's have a whole show dedicated to that later on. But right now, states would have a decision. They'd make a decision for an individual woman whether she can have an abortion or not. 28 of them right now in Texas. You cannot have an abortion after 6 weeks. So
28
people are
abortions.
Oh my God.
I was thinking, holy crap, for a moment. Yeah, sorry.
I'm like, her poll is over.
28 states that are on the books for having legislation that would, like Texas, that will prohibit abortion after X amount of time, after 6 weeks, whatever. Most people who get pregnant don't know they're pregnant for the first 6 weeks. So, and what's happening in Texas right now, since they banned abortion, essentially, is you've got a lot of women going to Louisiana and other neighboring states to get abortions. They're still getting abortions, but they got to travel to do it. And if 28 other states join that, that's a huge problem. I mean, it's a huge problem altogether. And I've said on the show before, when I was a teenager, ages 15 through 19, somewhere around there, I started in high school. I worked at Planned Parenthood. I started as a leading birth control rap sessions for teens. In a big groups in, on Saturdays. And then when I turned 18, they trained me and I was a birth control and problem pregnancy counselor, and also did birth control counseling too, for those who needed some assistance, some help, and how to not get pregnant. And I did that as a teenager, as a sexually active teenager, been there, done that. And these legislators who are voting just don't know. They have no idea. I mean, do you think anybody gets pregnant wants to go in and have an abortion? Come on. Do you know how many of these legislators probably themselves were in the backseat of a car doing whatever they do with a girl when they're 15 or 16 or 17 years old? And I guarantee some of them, uh-oh, I missed my period. Uh-oh, I got the test. It's positive. Oh, shit. When you're 15 fucking years old, 15 years old, I don't care if somebody's 15 years old or the 42 years old or however old they are. If that happens to them, it's up to them, their family, their significant other, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, whoever it is, what they do with their body. You know, I was having a conversation, Amanda, with somebody this morning, because we were discussing this morning. Here's my question to you. If somebody needs medical care in the UK, you can get it. You call your doctor, call your hospital, go to the ER, whatever, you can get it.
Yes, you can just go to the doctor. Well, call them up and say, look, I need to speak to a doctor. Or admittedly, you'll have to wait a little longer than you used to because, you know, doctors are so much more busier these days and the growth over here, over there, because I'm not there. The population rate's growing, expanding with, you know, immigration and the UK have more babies. So, yeah, there's a bigger demand on healthcare. And so call up the doctor, say, yeah, can I book an appointment to your doctor? They'll ask you what for. And, yeah, they can book you in. Or you can get a telephone call with a doctor, and that you won't have to pay for that. It comes out of taxes and things like that to fund the national health system. The only thing you have to pay for is if you're working, and you pay for your medication. That's it, and it's a fraction of the price that you would pay for medication in the US. So, I mean, the prices are going up every year for inflation and all sorts of things like that, and tax and stuff. But it's still a lot cheaper being here, there, in the UK, to see a doctor and have medication and stuff than it is in other
countries. What happens if somebody is problem pregnancy counseling and chooses to, for whatever reason, I'm pro-choice. You know, I'm going to leave my opinion getting an abortion or not out of it. Nobody wants to go around. Nobody's a child murderer, for Christ's sake. Nobody is.
No.
Get off that train. We're talking about abortions first of all, you know, 6, 7, 8 weeks, 9 weeks. I'm not going to get into the procedure, but it's no more than really a DNC, which women have regularly as part of an issue with medical, with reproductive medical treatment, blah, blah, blah. And you're talking about cells that can sit on top of the pinhead. That's a scientific fact. And if somebody gets an abortion at that first stage, now they're saying 15 week, you know, I guess, you know, I'm pro-choice regarding that, you know, first stage, you know, whatever. I'm a dad, you know, and I, you know, went to the doctors and ultrasounds, you see this person that you created is going to come into the world. And I've got two amazing daughters and holy crap, you know, I can't imagine, you know, my God. But so after 15 weeks or so, right around 15 weeks, let's just say 15 weeks, If you don't do something about it by then, and you can, and you should know, and get tested, and blah, blah, blah. If you wait 15 weeks, I got to be honest with you, I'm saying, you know, unless there's a big major health crisis involved where, you know, if you continue that pregnancy, that you put both of you in jeopardy or whatever it might be. I don't know how I feel about that. I know how I feel about it, but I'm kind of not pro-abortion after that. After you got kid coming to the world, I feel very confused about that. But early stage, like 6, 7, 8 weeks, when you're talking about a bunch of cells that are on a pinhead, what do they call it, a zygote, I think, or something, you know, come on. I don't know. I'm making more light of it than I think it really is. Believe me, you know, been on that whole, you know.
I know what you're saying. It is difficult, though, isn't it? It is difficult making a decision or opinion one way or another because we understand both sides of the argument.
Yeah, we do.
And there has to come a point that where if it feels right to you and, you know, and you can live with that decision you make and it's beneficial for everyone involved, then sure, I understand. But I think if it's something you're unsure about and it's just for off a whim, oh, I shouldn't have slept with that person, you know, blah, 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 that's so irresponsible. And there's something to, you know, we need to learn from, right? I sound like I'm being very judgmental, but there are things that we have to take into consideration with something as serious as abortion.
Well, how about the people that have got abortions because they got raped.
Well, yes, yeah, see, that's another thing, Cornell. Mm-hmm. I mean, somebody I know very close to me knows somebody who was raped, and they kept the child, and they said it was one of the best decisions they ever made. It was the hardest decision, obviously, because it was a reminder while they were pregnant and stuff, this is a result of what happened to me. But once they had that child, you know, and started to have all these wonderful experiences with that child, it was like all that part started to heal. And they have no regrets with keeping that child and the wonderful joys and gifts.
I got to be honest, if I were, let's just say, you know, it's hard to say, but if I were a woman, or I'm not, let's say, or I knew a woman who was raped and didn't, you know, and missed a period and got an early on. And first of all, take the morning after pill. Just take the fucking morning after pill, right?
Yeah.
All right. So it's like having a heavy period and you have some cramps. And I'm not a woman. I've never had that. I've had a lot of girlfriends who have severe cramps. I get it. I've been there. And that's what happens. It can happen after the morning after pill. So you do that.
Right.
Boom. And if you go to the hospital after you've been raped, they'll probably recommend you doing that anyway, right? So forget that. Okay, so put that aside. Put that aside. Now, for whatever reason, you were raped, were incest. Your brother, your father, fucked you.
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
All right? You're pregnant. And for whatever reason, you miss a period or two periods, and you can't put that together, that maybe there's something brewing, all right? And you continue that, and you continue on. Here's what happens. This is my story. You continue. I'm a woman, right? I continue on, and I'm that person. I went a month, no period. Huh, I'll be darned. 2 months, no period. I'll be damned. You know. Then my stomach's 3 months, 4 months, 5, 6, 7 months, 5 months, really 4 months. I'm start. Whoa, and no periods for the last 6 months or 4 months, whatever. And my stomach start. Oh, I feel that kicking inside my belly. Holy crap! Oh my, I think I'm pregnant. And then I have this amazing baby. I have this baby. Yeah. Just adorable and cute and loving and fun and smiles and those beautiful eyes, right? I would be championing. I'd be out there parading and championing what they're talking about in Texas.
Yeah.
I would, right? If I was that baby and I had a healthy upbringing, you know, if I didn't end up robbing, if I didn't end up in your living room stealing your stuff, right? That's in a whole nother argument. But anyway, if I'm a healthy, if I'm a baby brought up by caring, loving guardians or parents or whatever, or adoptive parents, whatever the case may be, and I'm realizing, and I'm doing great, and I'm successful in school, and I'm loving life, and I'm playing in a band, or I'm doing whatever else I'm doing in life. I'm a great baseball star, whatever I'm doing, I'm a great scholar, right? And I was here by accident because my mother was raped, but I am here. I'd be out there working to promote my existence. Hey, folks, this, you know, so I am totally on the wall about that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I am, if somebody, God, I wouldn't want to be a legislator or a Supreme Court justice because you know something? I'd say, I don't know. You elected me. Why don't you send in your, you know, I'm serving you. Why don't you, everybody send in your ballots. Should I go vote for no abortion or for abortion or whatever? You tell me. I'm the elected official. I represent you. I'll vote how you want me to vote, regardless of how I feel, because I wouldn't know what to do myself. I absolutely wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah. It's very difficult,
mm-mm,
isn't it?
Woo!
Yeah.
What a decision.
There's a lot of successful stories that parents, supposed to them, got abortion with a child, and a child became a successful person.
And there are also stories, and I think unfairly so, I think there's also stories that you look at kids who are unwanted, who don't have appropriate upbringings, the father, there is no father, and they end up homeless or on the streets or committing crimes, and they're occupying United States jails, which is the highest occupancy rate in the entire world. The smallest population of 5% of the world, but the highest jail rate. You know?
Yes. Yeah.
So you got to, you know, all this figures into this. All of it figures into it. And here we are, citizens, rah, 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 on one side of the coin or the other. This is a very, very difficult decision. But what I think it has to happen, that decision must be left up to the person who's suffering to make it. Yeah. We need to provide support, counseling, medical treatment, whatever it might be, guidance, but it must not be anybody's business or concern except the people who are greatly adversely affected by making that decision. That is the way it must be. That was Roe v. Wade. And
right.
For 49 years to come back now and overturn what has been the law. What is going on in America, people? Are we going back to the Dark Ages? What's next?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. What's that?
Amanda, the reason why I asked you about medical treatment in the UK is I had a conversation today with a woman. We were discussing, back on the East Coast, a good friend of mine from way back, and we were talking about Roe v. Wade and taxes. And I said, you know what? I recorded recently in the studio a couple man and wife, a husband and wife, who came over, and I did a demo CD for them from Sweden. And we talked briefly about the tax structure there, about life there. And here's what I learned.
Okay.
Like you, Amanda, I think it's very similar that you have a high tax rate considering. Is that right? Education.
Yeah.
I don't know. Education is free. People graduate college. And they don't have a $200,000 debt.
Our country,
it's free. What is it? UK? Is it free there, or is it? What is it in public colleges? Is it free?
Yes, public college.
Definitely.
Yeah, I went to a public college simply because my parents and I could not afford to pay the extreme amounts that they were charging for what I wanted to do, which was graphic design. Mm-hmm. And they said, oh, no, you don't need to do that. There's, the public college is absolutely amazing. You'll still get a high grade of qualification. And, people have left there and to go on doing their jobs that they want. So I was like, yeah, cool. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we'll do that. And it was good. Admittedly, it had its downfalls at the time. We had teachers. At that time, we had a recession going on, and teachers were protesting because of the pay. So we were having teachers not showing up for class, and a load of students sat there waiting to learn something, and it was very stressful. But regardless of that, it's very good, very good. You do pay out of your ass, mind, if you go to a proper college here in the UK. You've got this massive debt hanging over you. But,
In Sweden, college is free.
Wow.
And healthcare is free.
Wow.
And why? Because they're considered human rights. We in this country, in the United States, we said you need a high school education to get along in the world, so we're going to pay for it. We're going to provide public education through 12th grade. But somehow, we talked about this before, previous shows way back, somehow the bar was changed that you now need a college education to get any kind of decent job. You need a college education to do ABC, whatever it might be. And then the government said, "Oh, and we'll also loan you the money for that college education. Oh, and by the way, you're going to have to pay it back to us, even if you have struggles in your life, and eventually, for whatever misfortunate reason you have to, or unfortunate reason you have to, declare bankruptcy in your life." That ain't going away. You still owe me, Uncle Sam here, who gave you that money for that college education. You still owe me that 200 grand or whatever's left of it. And the government in this country established that. Okay, college education, we're going to give you college loans. And now you've got a huge population in America that major in English and history and the arts or liberal arts, whatever it might be. And they have a huge college debt, and maybe some are getting master's degrees in something that can go out and get them some kind of work. But then after they graduate college, they throw the hats in the air, and the families come out, and they attend the graduation, have dinner, you're finished the college, blah, blah, blah. And then reality sets in. Got to find
a
job.
They can't get a job. They can't get a job.
That's a lot of pressure.
Check it out. How about the people that get the college degree, right, and then they apply for jobs? Then you need a master's degree. Now you need a PhD degree. What the fuck?
Yeah.
But here's the deal. So in Sweden, and as Amanda just explained, and also in part in the UK and other parts of Europe, the population is a happier population than here in America. They pay high tax rates, but they are provided basic human rights and education and medical care.
Yes.
What is the issue with the GOP party in America that doesn't understand that, that doesn't get a grip on that, that hasn't done studies in the population of certain European countries where you've got an amazingly happy population of people? Do they pay high taxes? Yeah, but you know something? They get free college. They get free health care. And you hear these things, oh, they got to wait in lines. Amanda, do you have to wait in line? Do you ever wait in line?
As in, to go to a store or supermarket.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not talking about the bus. Know what I'm saying? All right.
Wait in line for what, sweetie?
To go see a doctor. You make an appointment, you go, right? You have to wait in line. Oh, there's line around the block to get in?
Oh, God, no. Only for the vaccine, but that was a different story.
Exactly.
You don't have to wait in line.
And when you got that grant to attend college, did you have to wait in line to go to class? You entered your class and you were there.
Yes.
Right? Right.
Yes.
Right. Right.
Right.
And I'm not saying that every population, every country, I mean, we're in America, this is a great place to live, but we're going the wrong way and we're going there quickly. And what's going on in the world is the perception of the United States is going down the toilet very, very fast. It's been going down the toilet, it's going down the toilet even faster. And here on the Andy Amanda Show, we're going to try to save it. We're going to try to salvage it. I don't know how. How are we going to save America?
We'll
bring JJ back. Hey, Andy,
we'll
bring JJ back.
Okay. Oh, there goes our democracy.
Oh, no.
There goes our democracy. And you've got all this, and you've got people like, who's that guy, Tucker Fucker? What's his name?
JJ.
No, Carlson. What's his name? Tucker Fucker Carlson, whatever his name is there. Tucker.
Yeah.
Who goes there? He has questions. Well, you know, he asks questions like insinuating that isn't this a real issue? And he asks a question, isn't this? Like, idiot, go back to fucking kindergarten. You know what? I'll tell you something. You've got these commentators. You know, the conservative. We're unique. There are some other shows like ours, but we're fairly unique because most talk shows and commentators, both on TV and radio, tend to be conservative thinking more than we are. We kind of like, you know, we'll sit here, you know, we don't come on these liberals and, you know, we're pro-abortion, all this stuff. You heard me speak. I'm not pro-abortion. You know, but what I am is pro that person getting – it's not the government's decision. You know, and if you don't go out and lobby for something, go out and lobby for safe sex. You know what I'm saying? We got a caller here. I think it's from South Carolina, I think. You're on the Andy and Amanda Show, Talk Radio. I'll get it straight one of these days. I will get it straight. Is that Lisa?
Are you there? Yes,
yeah.
It's me. Hey. You keep saying South Carolina. I hope you were going to say North Carolina one day.
I'll get it straight. Thank you for calling in. How are you doing?
Yeah. I had to call in because you were talking about health care and that, so I was listening to the show earlier. So
no.
I just wanted to make a comment on that. How you doing, Amanda?
I am doing fine, my lovely. How about you?
I'm good. How you doing, Cornell?
I'm doing awesome. I'm here. I'm doing awesome. Thank you.
Okay.
Oh. Raving lunatics.
How are things there in North Carolina, darling?
Good. We're doing good. It was nice today, only about 80 degrees, so, and not too humid today, so it was really a good day today.
Oh, bless.
It's very great having you back on the show.
Although she does have a very nice figure.
Indeed.
You heard it here.
I'm not going to touch that one, Andy. I'm not even going to go down that road. Hey, I had a guy the other day. This is a funny one. I was in the store, and the guy said to me, "Are you from Texas?" And I said, "Texas." I said, "Does this sound like a Texas accent?" I think he had too much to drink. But I've never been mistaken from being from Texas, but I just thought that was funny. I said, no, I'm from New York.
They feel it's just adding New York people accent. In order to put themselves in a little better negotiating position.
They did.
That's okay, Lisa, because I get people hear me sometimes and they say, are you from Australia? I'm like, what? Really?
Yeah.
You know,
I guess they don't know an Australian accent from an English accent. I don't understand that, but
it's
don't
weird
know.
How it grows with you. It,
it grew great with you.
It did.
So you heard the conversation, Lisa, about the abortion thing. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm not going to go down that road.
Oh, okay.
No. Well, I don't know. I have my own opinions about that, but. More from a spiritual standpoint than anything else, but
well, yeah. But that's you know, it's just as valid as everything else, you know.
Yeah, I just think that at conception you're a spirit and you're a being, so I just think it's wrong. But that's just my personal opinion.
Of course.
I get
and
it.
And everybody does what they want to do, you know.
Exactly, and that's our whole point. That everybody does what they want to do, and it's not the government's job to make that decision for them. You know,
exactly.
People can, you know, if they do what they do, it's appropriate for them in their life. And it's, I don't think it's the government's or anybody else's job to dictate what one person might want to do. And as I was saying earlier, you know, if you want to make sure that you never have to face that decision, then be careful. Don't, you know, when you have sex, be safe. Be careful. Use rubber or get an IUD or take the pill, whatever you're going to do, you know, but don't get pregnant for Christ's sake. And then you don't have to worry about it, you know.
Especially in 2022. We don't live in 1930 anymore where contraception is not available.
I mean,
it's out there.
The Japanese are involved.
It's in the stores. It's, you know.
Yeah. And they're not running out using sheepskin anymore.
I thought it was lambskin.
Uh-oh. The main thing is to get plenty of advice.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
my God.
That's
sort of good,
right?
leave those sheep alone, Amanda.
I know, right?
The poor sheep. Oh, my God.
The UK and Wales are full of them.
I know. Yeah. Remember when we went down that road and we stopped all the sheep were there? Oh, my God. That was hysterical.
It was funny. Lisa came over to the UK to spend some time with me. And we went to Avery Stone Circle, which isn't far from Stonehenge, you know, a massive historical site.
Oh, wow. That's
and
great.
A tourist place. Yes, gorgeous, gorgeous. And we stopped and we saw these sheep in the field. And Lisa was like, wow, look at these sheep. It was it was funny because everywhere you went, there was just sheep, you know. the UK is full of them.
Went to a number of women's groups and said, can you help us find folks?
Hey, guys, when y'all was talking about sheep, I didn't like the way Andy said,
I was going to reply to that, but what the hell, let's move on to something else.
If you want to disappear in the UK, just put on a jumper or something like a sweatshirt that looks like sheep, you know, wool, and you're safe. Go hide in the field. You'll be all right.
There's no doubt. You know, I was going to get to another tune here because I was talking about. Yeah, I was going to. What was I going to say?
What?
I don't know. Yeah, but I was talking about Texas. Oh, no, I know what I was going to say. I was up in Northern California, up near Sausalito, trying to get the highways back to Southern California, and I passed a Folsom Prison.
What?
Do you remember Folsom Prison? I didn't go. I wasn't in Folsom Prison. I want very clear about that.
Okay, fair enough.
But I actually passed the real Folsom Prison. It really does exist.
Hey,
something awfully screwy going on around here.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not clear as to what that is or what that means. I mean, I know it's a prison, but is it kind of seen as a myth then that it exists? Or?
Well, I guess it's a prison made famous by our, what's the guy's name? No, of course, by Johnny Cash. By Johnny Folsom Prison. Folsom Prison
Blues. Johnny Cash was in there, wasn't he?
He actually was not. That's a myth. He performed there.
Okay.
I think Waylon Jennings was there, I believe. I might be, don't quote me on that. I could be wrong. But I think Waylon Jennings. But no, but Johnny Cash was actually not. And some people think, well, Johnny Cash was doing whatever he's doing. He was in jail and came out and became who he was. But that's actually not true. He was never in prison. And that's people somehow that got around that he was actually in Folsom Prison. But he was in Folsom Prison because he performed there. I was in Delaware County Prison myself.
Oh,
really?
But I, as a musician, not as a
right.
inmate.
Well, I don't clear that one up real fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
You sure about that, Andy?
Well, I don't know.
Julia Child presents.
That's yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh boy!
But it was funny because God, when I brought guitars, I was with my band, and we came in as security, and they opened all our guitar cases, and you know, checked everything. We did two shows, one for the male population, took a little break, and then one for the female population. And there were some convicted murderers and so forth in there, but for the most part, out of several hundred inmates, most of them were there for offenses that were going to give them short. Sentences, I guess that's the kind of prison it was. But there was some folks in there for longer sentences. So on the way out, they had to line up to go to security again themselves. They were in this hallway, and we were going opposite them on the other side of the wall. And some of the inmates were high-fiving me. You know, the band did a killer job. You know, we played. They were all clapping and having a great time. The band was on fire that night. And it was a fun show. And so they were high-fiving me. So I was high-fiving in the back. I'm feeling these guys in the orange jumpsuits, you know. And then one of the security guys later, he said, you know what? When you come in here next time around, don't high-five these guys back. Don't have any physical contact. Because what will happen is they will grab you. They will grab you and hold you and put their arm around your neck and hold you hostage for something. He said, do not touch these guys. And he's like, they could be my neighbor. You know, I'm like, what did you do? How are you in here? You know, what the hell?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But so... And we got paid, you know, they're paid gigs by the state or whatever, you know, but it was fun. It was great to lighten up their lives and their existence. You know, you come in there and I forget if we played Folsom Prison Blues. I think we may have. I don't remember. But anyway, fun gig.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, they were like, I said to them, I made an announcement. So what are you all you guys in here for? You know, and then they were like, oh. Okay.
Wes Bacon, where is he? This is full. Wait, his name was Bacon, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my memory serves you. Notoriously
played by Ron Moody, who played the part in the movie and on stage. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well done, Amanda. I got it right for a change. I'm usually like, wait, what's that guy's name?
Yeah. But Amanda, I was going to say something. You better just remember what it was.
Nope. Sorry.
I know our time is up here for this show, but we're going on overtime now. So, but you know, what I learned was the broadcast gets cut off, but the podcast continues. So I wonder how long we can actually just keep going before they do turn us off. I don't know. But I guess that means we should probably wind the show down and look forward to Friday's show, eh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Don't we have some guests coming on soon?
What, Friday? Soon we do. Yes, we've got an actress that is due to come on the show in May at some point. I'm still waiting for confirmation that she definitely wants to come on the show. So I won't give out any details just yet. And we've also got...
Wait, is it Chinese?
Oh. No.
Just,
but I can order one. and we've got another guest doing music, haven't we, coming on the show this month?
I thought we did.
Yeah. So we will keep everybody informed, but it's looking good. Looking good so far.
Yeah, don't forget tomorrow is Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, wow.
Don't forget that.
Oh.
So save that margarita for tomorrow, Amanda.
Oh.
And you're in Mexico,
I'll make another
come
one.
On now. You got to be celebrating that. You're in Mexico.
Oh, absolutely.
I have a secret margarita recipe. I
you
do.
Snotty little bastard.
Well, sorry.
Oh, come on, now, Jeff. Come on, Jeff.
You got to have tacos and margaritas tomorrow.
Hell yeah, that's fine.
And Amanda makes the best margaritas in the world. She does.
And lately, she's added another remarkable achievement to her career.
Yes.
Oh. I aim to please.
God. I'll tell you. Oh, man.
I love them. I absolutely love them. I literally never had a margarita until I got here. And it was just like...
Oh, must be.
I know. Yeah. I've lived the sheltered life, I tell you.
Right.
But,
oh, my.
Now you can't put that glass down, eh?
Well, I say that healthily, Lisa, yes. I'm not on them 24 hours a day, but I do enjoy having one, yeah.
I bet.
Yeah.
I want to make another. I got to make another. Anyway, I guess we should think about getting out of here. We're beyond our show length, you know, officially, our official show length, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, we could think about... Oh, here it. I'm hearing it.
Ooh!
Yeah. Yeah. This is the Andy and the Mandy Show, you folks. Thank you for tuning in. Play that thing.
Ooh, no. Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. How can we leave with this going on, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I love it. Yeah. Buckwheat Zydeco. I had the privilege of doing a tour with them as their opening act. The leader of the band has died a few years back, but what a great experience that was, man. They were so good. They were just so good. I know it was really cool. Buckwheat Zydeco is very well known. You know, a lot of people, listeners, I'm sure, has heard of them. I remember playing one gig. I forget where it was. And I opened up the show for them, you know, got everybody going, you know, played some, you know, driving kind of Memphis blues and stuff. And so I was back, you know, people were talking to me after the show. And, you know, Buckwheat Zydeco was up playing. And after my show, I was mingling with the audience. And out of nowhere, I hear the head of Stanley, who's the head of Buckwheat Zydeco, say, "Where's Andy Kimball? Is Andy Kimball still here? Where's Andy Kimball? And I said, "Right here, man." He said, "You get up here, man." And he brought me up to the stage. And he took my hand. He says, "I just need to tell you, in front of all these people, we love what you do. You are great. You keep on doing it." And that meant, you know, for somebody to do that, he's the headlining act, you know? And I was just kind of out of the gate, just trying to get out there. And for somebody to do that, to here I am, a brand new, what do I know? You know, I'm an opening act. And that just meant so much. I'll never forget when that was just so wonderful, you know, for him to do that.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And it was pretty great.
Yeah.
Oh,
I just feel so much joy for you right now.
What's this empty nonsense about?
I don't know. No. Jeez, you know?
Hey, yeah.
Hey, Cornell.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Cornell.
Yeah.
Ever put your life in another man's hands?
Always. Always.
Just wondering.
Always.
Anyway, guys. So I guess we got to, yeah, go ahead.
Do you like to dress up like a woman?
Nicely played, Cornell.
That was good. That was better than I could have done myself. Like, that was really good, Cornell. It really was. You know? But, hey, Cornell.
Hey.
Cornell.
Hey.
Never rub another man's rhubarb.
So there.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, is it okay to fake an orgasm?
I don't know.
It will be. Oh, my. It's getting real personal now.
It will be. Oh, gosh. Yeah, I don't know.
You're a contemptible lowlife for talking this.
Yeah.
Man, I love it.
Oh, my. Oh, my goodness. This is nothing. I mean, you know, I mentioned this to somebody the other day. I was trying to think who I was telling about this, that the a lot of people think the UK are quite, you know, tight and, you know, upper class and don't know how to have a good time and relax and stuff like that. But we've actually been, like, quite naughty in our past with, like, the way we see life and humour, you know, because I told you boys about this before. We've got a collection of British movies from the 60s onwards called Carry On. And after the word Carry On, each movie's got a separate title, like Carry On Screaming, Carry On Cabbie, Carry On Don't Lose Your Head. There's like a massive collection of these Carry On movies. And they're all like tongue-in-cheek, naughty, full of humour, talking about life, sex, relationships. You guys would absolutely laugh your butts off at them. If you haven't seen any of them, I'd recommend checking them out.
Amanda.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of Benny Hill. Come
you
on.
Are? Yeah, well, there you go.
I was just
going to
say that.
Movies.
Benny Hill was one of the best. Oh, my
yeah.
God. That
yeah.
was
you
hysterical.
Guys. Yeah, you got to check Hill. Out these Carry On movies. They're just hilarious. You would be like, wow. The British were like watching these, and they're legends over here. So we've got naughty humor.
And I've been to the UK. You know that, Amanda. And yeah.
Yeah. And
the
you
British
know
are. They got that sense of humor, no doubt.
Yeah,
they do.
A lot of American celebrities have come over here and been on shows and said, "Oh my God, we can say fuck live on air," or you know, and we can do this. You can't do that in the US, and we're just so much more relaxed in that sense with the humor and how we take those things seriously. And so it was fascinating to hear like the celebrities saying that, like, "Oh my God, you can do this over here." But yeah, you guys, you need to check out his movies. Andy, you will laugh. You will seriously laugh at those movies.
There.
You got
I'm
to.
There.
You got to let me know if you see them because they're just so funny.
Who's the other guy? It was that was like, wait a minute. Oh my God! Always look on the bright side of life. Doo doo.
Oh, wasn't that Monty Python?
Monty Python.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were classics as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did anybody remember Fraggle Rock?
Oh, yes. I was looking at that yesterday.
Yeah.
Down to Fraggle Rock. Whoop, whoop. Yeah. That's such a good one. I love that.
God, I remember so many, you know, British performers. Oh my God. I'm thinking of one guy who was an amazing actor who did the movie Death in Venice. I think he was American. What's his name is absolutely God. I can't believe. Must be getting old or something. But Death in Venice. Dirk Bogarde. Ring a bell?
Oh, okay.
British actor, I believe he's British actor. Death in Venice. If you haven't seen the film or read the book,
I've
better
not.
Yet. But if the film is incredible.
Right.
Incredible film. I won't go into it because I don't want to spoil it for anybody. But the film, Dirk Bogarde, the film is a classic, early 70s, late 60s, mid 70s maybe. But it's called Death in Venice. and it is an amazing film, and you need to see it.
That sounds groovy. I'll have to put that on my list to watch.
Yeah. Oh, Amanda, you know something? It's a film that you can watch and that I can watch, and we both have this really engaging conversation about afterward. You know, it's like, and you know what it kind of reminds me of? Do you remember a movie about these two guys in a restaurant and they have a conversation? The whole thing is just a conversation in a restaurant. What was that called? That was an American-produced film. It wasn't The Conversation. That was Gene Hackman.
How old is the movie?
How old?
Yeah.
About 80, 90 years, maybe. No, I'm kidding.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
Starsky and Hutch.
Starsky and Hutch. You know, it was, I'm thinking also early 70s. I could see the two characters. Oh, my God, it's coming.
Oh, it's frustrating, isn't it, when it's right on the tip there.
It is.
Like,
Ah, God. Anyway, I'll look it up and I'll talk about it next show. In the meantime, we really do have to think about getting out of here today. Look forward to Friday's show. I don't want to do that, but we need to do that.
I know.
You know?
Yes.
You know, I hate to.
I know.
You know?
Sorry.
I know.
I don't like to, you know what I mean?
I don't want to go.
Yeah.
I don't care about this anymore.
You know, but, you know, I can keep going. You know,
I wish somebody would shut him the fuck up.
Yeah, I've heard that. Andy. That's part of the reason I married your online.
Yes. That guy is a genius.
Well, they like him. They like him.
Hey, Mr.
Nikubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubakubak
fuck.
I like that.
Hell.
Yeah. Yeah, baby. Yeah. Awesome. Love it. Mm. What was you going to say, Andy?
I forget.
Get it, baby.
I'll tell you.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I was going to say something.
He's a jerkass.
Imagine if you're in a bed with somebody and start saying, hey, Mr. Goosey, would you stay or jump out?
Yeah, the partner turns around and goes, yeah, I'm about to jump on top. Woo!
Yeah,
or,
right?
or imagine, there you are in bed with somebody in your life.
I get so bored, I can scream.
Oh, yeah. But that conversation's gone on in several places in the world.
Yeah, I'm really big pocketed.
Oh, yes. You know, you really, you know, it could be
fun. This ain't reality TV.
Oh, we're on radio.
Hey.
Yes.
Give this man a beer.
Thank you. Please.
I'd rather enjoy it myself.
Mm, oh,
that's good.
You like one too?
That's good. Yeah.
Let's pass them around.
The question is, what is your philosophy of life?
I'll answer the question.
Go ahead.
Goodness, Jack.
Be my guest. Yeah, really, Jack, really. Yeah, really. Anyway, I was going to say that we kind of really need to wind down here as much as I got to go. Actually, the reason why I'm such a rush to wind down, we could go on longer, but I made a homemade margarita, and it was really good. And I want to go see if I can make another.
Mm-hmm. And
Julia wants to introduce our guests. Wait, let me bring the microphone over here. Come here, Julia. Okay. Get over here. Come here. Sit right here. They won't hear you over there. Come here. Right here. Okay, good. She's going to introduce our guest for Friday's show.
Miss Broiler, Miss Fryer, Miss Roaster, Miss Cafenet, Miss Stewart, and old Madam Hen.
Thank you.
Excellent. Nice
all on Friday's show. All on Friday's show.
Wow, that's going to be a busy show.
She was really, she was a comic.
We used to perform together.
I'm sure you did. Yeah.
Ah. So she was good at reading between the lines. Ha ha. Excellent.
Oh, yeah. Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. But we have to think about getting out of here eventually. But
yeah, I know.
Oh, guys.
And we're talking about Folsom Prison. Why don't we wind up the show with Johnny Cash, Folsom Prison, here on the Andy Demander Show, Blog Talk Radio. Looking ahead, 515-605-9888, 9 p.m. East Coast or New York time, Eastern Daylight Time, whatever time that might represent, wherever you live in the world. That's what time we go on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Email the show at andyanddemandershow@gmail.com. Look for us in all the typical social media. We're everywhere. Just Google Andy and Demander Show. And that should wrap it up for this Wednesday. It's been a pleasure. We've enjoyed being here. Lisa, thank you so much for calling in. It's always a pleasure having you aboard anytime. Anytime.
You're welcome, guys. Have a good evening.
And you, sweetheart.
And Amanda,
all right,
get
Amanda,
us out of here.
See you later.
You
okay,
bet.
Darling. See you soon.
And Amanda, get us out of here. We're going to hear Johnny Cash, I think, live. I think this is a live recording of Folsom Prison Blues. So don't go away. But Amanda, you can get us out of here. Then we'll go ahead and hear some Johnny Cash.
Alrighty then. So, on behalf of Andy Kimball, myself, Amanda Love, Cornell Butler, and thank you to Lisa for calling on the show, and thank you more importantly to you guys for tuning in and listening and supporting us. We love you guys. Join us again on Friday for another party. It's going to be great.
Hello,
and
I'm Johnny Cash.
I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling around a bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps rolling on down to San Antone. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry. Dining car. They're probably drinking coffee and smoking big cigars. Well, I know I had it coming. I know I can't be free. But those people keep a moving, and that's what tortures me. That railroad train was mine. I bet I'd move it on a little farther down the line. Far from Folsom Prison, that's where I want to stay. And I'd let that lonesome whistle blow my blues.